how you get started in 20 minutes. I mean, I hardly get started, but let's go to it right now. Second Timothy. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. Look at that. They resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, speaking to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, there is so much in this. This would absolutely, for me, take probably a couple months to exegete this and to tell you, you know, all of this. But I want to give it something to you in just kind of in a general way. Because I recognize, and I know you also recognize, that we're living unmistakably in the end times. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, I got news for you. It started on the day of Pentecost, okay? And that was 2,000 years ago. So if 2,000 years ago was the end times, you got to know today's the end times as well. But a lot of these things we're reading about, yeah, they were prevalent in that time, but it seemed like they're more prevalent now. And I don't know, maybe it's that, and we know that in the book of Revelation that there's demons that have been held in check for a long, long time will be released. But I've got to believe that the way things have gotten lately, that maybe some of them have already been released on planet Earth, and this is why the world's so infested with a lot of lying, murderous demon spirits. And you know what? It's those demon spirits that are the advocate of the false doctrines of all these things that Paul was speaking about. And I asked myself the question, why is there such violence in our streets? And it's there. Why is there such wickedness in our capital, nation's capital? Why is there such chaos in the schools? Why is there such division and hypocrisy in a lot of churches today? And I've come to the conclusion it's because the devil is alive and well on planet Earth. Amen. And we know that he has an agenda. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And he's been let loose. And that's why the church is asleep. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm talking to others. us. I know a lot of times I'm preaching inwardly, and we're talking about inwardly things, but I'm also talking today about outwardly, because there's some things the church needs to get in order. And I say the church, I mean Life Point Church, starting with us, because if it starts here, it can spread everywhere. But I'm talking about the corporate body as well. We need to get back to the Word of God and recognize that we are in a spiritual war zone. This is not a cruise, all right? This is a warship. A lot of folks have the mentality that we're on a cruise ship, you know? On a cruise ship, you get everything handed to you. You get everything. You get pampered. You get petted. Do you need some more towels? Do you need one? You know, you come back to your room and it's folded like a monkey. Have you been on one before? It's folded like an elephant or a giraffe or whatever, and they're always give you more towels. Do you need more food? If you need more food, we got a buffet at 7. If you need more food than that, we got a buffet at 10 o'clock. If you need more, 2 o'clock, we got a buffet. 4 o'clock, we got a buffet. 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and round the clock. Amen. We'll just eat around the clock. If you need it, we got it. Whatever you need. And you are so important to us, and we want to please you. That's where the church is today. I'm be honest with you. We're entertaining, and we're bringing them in, and we're feeling like, you know, we're doing the world a favor by entertaining the world. But let me tell you, some entertainment will never reach the world. It takes this gospel that Brother Stan was talking about this morning. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so get off of the cruise ship, get on the warship, because we are in a battle today, and in the warship, you might not get a towel. I'm sorry, the towels may get run out, but I guarantee you one thing: we'll give you bullets, and we'll give you guns, and we'll give you ammo, because there's a devil to fight. Somebody say amen. You see, the fact is, the Bible said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and things that we cannot see. And so, church, we are in a warfare. And this warfare is unlike any other warfare that's ever been perpetrated on planet Earth. Because in this warfare, let me tell you something, it's not about kingdoms, and it's not about lands, and it's not about money and positions and places. But this warfare is for the souls of people. And the Bible said that if a man doesn't know God, then a man's going to go to hell. That's why we've got to send the gospel. That's why we got to preach the gospel. That's why we got to live the gospel. That's why nothing else matters in this entire world but this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and a church that'll stand up and say, we'll be that church, God. If that's what you need, we'll be ready to meet the enemy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh yeah. You see, at stake are the human souls of men. Let me ask you a question. Where's the church at today? Where's the church? What is impacting end time ministry or end time impacting ministry? What is it? Is it just showing up? Is it singing 4 or 3 slow songs and 2 fast ones? Is it finally tuning a little homiletic sermon that I can bring you and give you 5 little points that'll just absolutely knock your socks down around your ankles? Is that impacting ministry? I don't believe so. I believe it's a whole lot more than that. I believe that it's not just 3 songs, a sermon and a poem and a go home just the way that you came. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of church as usual, okay? I'm tired of going to church and just going to church and going to church. Got to go to church. Why don't we just be the church? Why don't we just rise to the occasion in such a time as this? Because I want you to know, end time ministry is just that. End time ministry is on fire. End time ministry is impacting. End time ministry is enlightening. It's alive. It's reaching. It's preaching. It's teaching. And it's doing it with power. I believe the time has come that the world is looking for a church that has more than what they've got. And they don't want just a little song and dance. What they need is something that'll impact their lives, that'll change their hearts, that'll get them where they need to be. And what they need is not another song and dance, but what the church is in need of and what the world is in need of is the presence of God. Somebody say amen. It's time to get the cold get colder and the hot get hotter. And it's time that we rise up and be the church. Come on, somebody say amen. We've walked around in a fog long enough, you know, and we're worried, you know, that you know, are we going to please folks? Is there going to be enough people here to pay the bills? Let me tell you something. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you want to get them, walk out and leave and take your money with you. God's got more money than you got. Amen. And he'll supply the need, because money comes from God, and riches comes from God, and blessing comes from God. It doesn't come from your employer. It comes from God. And so you ought to praise God for that. But end time ministry is for the church to catch on fire and do what it says, impact somebody and change somebody's life. Where's the church at? Here a church, there a church, everywhere a church, church. You know, the world knows where Dillard's is. They're going to have to go to Tulsa here in a few months, but anyhow, they know what's up there too. They know where Walmart's at. They know where JCPenney's at. They know where Sears is at and where it used to be. They know where all of their favorite places are to eat. I know where Cracker Barrel is in Tulsa. I know where Popeye's Chicken is in Tulsa. I know where, you know, Cheddar's is in Tulsa. I mean, I can take you right to the Cake Factory, okay, and get you some delicious Cake Factory. But I want you to understand, they know where all these places are. But the question is, where is the church? Where is the church? I mean, the church is confused, and we're just as confused as a mouse in a maze. We're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. We don't even know what we're supposed to be doing. We're just going to entertain folk when they come. We're going to make them feel good. We're going to give them cotton candy and give them some good food, you know, but it's all full of sugar. What the world is in need of is the word of the living God, and it's time even to correct. It's time to do what the Bible said to do, and that is to preach it. It's time that the real Holy Ghost church stand up and know that they know that they know that if we'll stand up, God will stand with us. And if we'll pray through, God will be here. And if we'll get on our knees and begin to call out to the living God, that living God can change your life. But nothing else will, and nothing else can. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a vision for end time ministry? I'm sorry if I'm going a little fast this morning. I'm kind of cramped for time. Okay? Okay, thank you. One go on. I'll go on then. Amen. Do you have a vision? And when I mean a vision, I don't mean, I saw a vision. No, I'm talking about, do you have a vision for your life, for the church, for what you want to see? And I didn't mention it a moment ago, but Brother Jim is getting us hooked up with the prison systems so we can go in. Okay? And so you guys better get ready, because, man, it's one thing to say I want to do something for God, then we're going to present it to you, and it's time to do something for God. This is where we need to be. What we need to be is beyond 69 Highway, and we need to get beyond the walls of the church, and we need to reach those that are dying and understand that that is a vision. We've got so comfortable in our padded chair, and we've got lost in a sea of mega ministries. You know, we turn the TV on, there's a mega ministry. Somebody once told me that, said, you ain't doing nothing for God. Turn on the TV, look at all the people that's coming to their church. How many you got at your church? It's not how many we have at our church. It's how many are in that church that are full of God and full of His Spirit and full of His Word, that's living like God wants them to live. But I want you to know today that this is a time that we've been so caught up with the mega churches and the train choirs and the train preachers, and everybody's got it down, you know, A, B, C, D, E, and let's shake a hand and go home. Brother, I don't want to leave the same way that I came. And when I see people come in that I know that need Jesus Christ, I don't want them to leave the same way that they came. They didn't come for a song and a dance. They didn't come to be entertained. They came because they need answers. And I've come to tell you the answer is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, rose from the dead on the third day, and He's alive. He's alive. He's alive right now. Now, you couldn't prove that in a lot of churches. Sometimes around here, boy, y'all is getting quiet on me now. Angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? I go in some churches, I ask the same question. Hello? I better quit. Oh, not quit preaching, just quit what I'm saying here. Okay. Oh, we've lost sight of Calvary, to be honest with you. That's what the problem is. See, that's the focal point. Jesus, Calvary, the cross. May God give us a fresh vision of the cross. Church, can I tell you that we talked about missions today. We're talking about missions. But missions is not crossing the sea, okay? That's not missions. Missions is seeing the cross. Did you hear what I said? That's worth writing down, my friend. I said missions is not crossing the sea, but missions is seeing the cross. And when you see the cross, then you understand what it's all about. And you understand that when you see the cross, you'll see a bleeding, bloody Savior that was nailed to a cruel instrument of torture and death. And He died to make men holy. And He died to make men free. And He died to set us free. And thank God, He, the Son, says free, is surely free indeed. And it only comes through Calvary. You see, there's an impending judgment that hangs over everybody's head. You say that before, preacher. Well, that's okay. I'm going to say it again. Every person you meet on the street, every person you meet in the jail, every person we meet in prison, every person that is on your block that doesn't know Jesus, they have impending doom on their heads, over their heads. It's called the judgment of God. And I want to say it again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because hell is real. It's really real. I mean, it's not a Steven Spielberg presentation. It's not a Stephen King novel. It's not something made up in Hollywood like a fable. It's a real place that's on fire with flames that are alive for eternity, where people gnash their teeth for pain and for because they hate God, where men groan and scream with the agonies of hell, for whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But let me tell you something, there's only one voice between heaven and hell, and that is the church. The church is the only voice. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and it is the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will get you there. Religion won't get you there. Being good won't get you there. Paying your tithe won't get you there. All these little things that we do will not get you there. What will get you there is to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. That is the only foundation for eternity. And that voice is the church. The church has got to get involved in this impacting end time ministry. We've got to. We've got to develop something and be more than just a Sunday morning crowd that comes and hears preaching and singing and goes home and does nothing about it. I'm sorry I left my water down here. What time is it? I forgot my watch today of all days. Oh, man. I got my clock on my phone, but I got my water right here. Can I get a drink? It's kind of embarrassing y'all watching me. takes wind to move the windmill to bring the water up. It takes water in the preacher to get down there to bring the wind up. You think about that. But the only voice, you see, the city is in darkness right now. You won't believe, hanging with me just a little bit. Come with me a little bit. You think everything's pristine and perfect? No, negative, negative. Well, I'm just going to move from the skull. You will move, because I got news for you. It's wherever you go. Because the devil, he's not no respecter of any kind of persons or places. And I want you to know, the world is in darkness, the Bible said in the New Testament. It's in darkness. And the king of darkness rules and reigns. He's the king of terrors. And he's called the devil to come to kill, steal, and destroy. The city needs to see the church in their darkness and say, hey, there's light. They need to see the church in their thirst and say, there's water there. They need to see the church in their hungriness after inside and say, I know where I can get fed in their hopelessness. You know, there's a lot of hopelessness in this city, and I'm talking to us right now in every city, but I'm talking about to us in Muskogee, Oklahoma. There's a lot of hopeless people. There's a lot of hopeless situations, but the Lord spoke to me a long, long time ago and told me, as long as there's a living God in heaven, as long as Jesus Christ is alive, there is always hope, because he is hope. And he's the only one that can bring real hope. But it comes to the church. Where do we get the idea that the mega church is the only one that really, you know, doing anything for God? Man, you gotta have a thousand people. You gotta have a budget, you know, of $10 million a week if you're really, 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 really a church. You gotta have some kind of celebrity in the pulpit. You ain't got that, I promise you that. And he's got to be world renowned. And you got to have a television program that, you know, every it shows 7 days a week. And if you don't have all this, then you're really, 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 really not a real church. You know, if you really believe that, I got news for you. You believe anything. I got news for you. It wasn't a mega church that helped a man that was half dead in a ditch on his way to Samaria that had been wounded and left for dead and stripped of everything that he had. No, it wasn't a mega church. No, sir. It was one man with one burden, with one burning motive, and that was to bring hope and help and healing to a man that was half dead. You know, this man called, the Bible, Jesus didn't give him a name, but the man was a Samaritan in the story, and you know what his purpose was? His purpose was not to see or be seen, okay? He didn't do it to toot his own horn. He didn't do it so somebody, you know, could see him. He wasn't there to put on a religious show. He wasn't there to build a bigger Sunday school class than the smaller ones in Jericho, amen? He was not there to raise another dollar, to buy another station, to build a bigger earthly kingdom and a bigger name. His motive was one thing, and that was to bring help and healing and deliverance and freedom to a man that was half dead. And he gave of his time, and he gave of his money, and he gave of his prayers, and he gave of his life that this one man could find what he needed. And I want you to understand, and I want to make a little announcement. God doesn't need a mega church to get the job done. What God is in need of is a willing, compassionate vessel that'll say, God, use me for the glory of God. I may never be known and nobody will ever know my name, but as long as I can touch somebody, as long as I can reach somebody, as long as I can be a light in this dark world, Lord, pour it out on me. That is the motive. I want to impact somebody and not just be a big preacher. Amen. It's not about that. Oh no, till we're willing to get down in the dirt and pour in oil and wine and put them up on our own beast and spend our own resources and talents and time and just to mend somebody. Somebody will tell the alcoholic, and somebody will tell the prostitute, and somebody will tell somebody been married 3, 4, 5 times that God still has a plan for your life, okay? God still loves you. Somebody will tell the single mother that there's still hope. Praise God. It's not over. It's somebody that'll stand up and tell that foul-mouthed co-worker, Jesus loves you. I thank God, Brother Stan, for what you said a minute ago when that man walked into, well, he didn't say it, it was the guy on the TV. Amen. He said it. He said he was a drug dealer. He told you his biography, his resume. And in that jail, a man walked in and said, Jesus loves you. And it changed his life. My friend Dixie Pebworth, as some of you remember, it came that I went to school with, that went to prison. And in prison, same thing. A man of God walked in, looked him between the eyes, and said, sir, Jesus loves you. He loves you. And it's not just those words. You got to have some power behind the words. And the power is the word of God. The power is, thus saith the word of God. You see, that's what the world is in need of. God doesn't need a house that's full of billionaires. What the church is in need of is somebody that'll say, I believe the word of God, and will get this word of God down in their soul, and they can tell somebody that's lost that Jesus loves you, and it'll make a difference in their life. Amen. Nothing else will. You see, I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm not preaching against mega churches. I know somebody say he's just jealous because he ain't got a mega church. No, I ain't got no mega church. I'm just an ordinary guy. Pun intended. I'm a little unusual, I know. We already had some guests get up and walk out on me. Maybe they had to take medicine or something, I hope. But that's okay. Wouldn't be the first time somebody walked out on me. But I'm good with it. People don't want to hear the truth. And I know I'm a little monstrous, or is that the right word? I get a little excited. It's like fire shut up. Oh, I tried it. I did. They told me, well, I was preaching, you know, I wouldn't have a voice in 10 years. Well, I've been going on now some 30-something years. That same guy told me that. Praise God, I still got my voice. They said, that ain't the way you do it. You don't do it like that. You're supposed to stand real dignified behind the pulpit. Get all the lint off of you, too. And really, the correct way to do it is keep a hand on your pulpit. Tried it. I met her doing this. Amen. Seriously. I tried to be still. I tried to do it like you're supposed to do it. I tried to be dignified. I tried it all, man. And I remember one time I was standing up here, and I'm trying to be Mr. Dignity, you know, and I said something about the power of God, something said, watch it, dignity. Hold yourself still right there, okay? I just hung in there for a little bit. But I realized the more I talked about the power of God, the more I talked about the blood of Jesus that can cleanse every soul from sin. And I'm telling you, there's nothing can wash away your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the more I talked about the blood, and the more I talked about the resurrection, the more, brother, it was like fire shut up in my bones. And brother, I just had to let it out. I just had to shout it from the rooftop. I say, let the devil roar in his fury. Let the angels shake in his glory. Let the rafters shake in this place. I'm going to tell you, there is a living God. And that living God is alive. He's resurrected. And he's here right now. Amen. So I don't have to be nobody. I am nobody. I don't care. I've had other opportunities. You think that's the only opportunity I have? Come on, kid. Don't kid yourself. I've had other opportunities. Can't think of any right now, but I'm sure I've had a few. Amen. In my life, never mind. Glory to God. See, what I'm saying is it doesn't take a mega church. Man, those are anomalies. They meant houses in the beginning. Hello. And the way things going, if, you know, things keep going the way they're going and we get the wrong people in office, I don't got news, we're going to be meeting in houses again. Because I'm going to be going to jail. I told you before, just put some money on my books, please. Come see your pastor. I'll have a jail ministry then, Brother Stan. Because they don't want to hear the truth. Okay? They need the truth to impact their lives, Paul said. And you say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. And again, it's not the mega church. We think that it's going to, that this revival we talk about is going to come, you know, sweeping in. And in the sweeping revival, you know, tens of thousands of people are just going to start flooding the churches. It doesn't happen like that. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is that you reach them one at a time. It's one soul at a time. It's one family at a time. It's one person at a time. And so we've got our mind on this mega stuff till we forgot it's just about the person you run into tomorrow when you looked in between the eyes and you know they need God and they need deliverance and they need help and you know the answer. You've got the answer. That's what they need. It's like the man that was walking with his grandson along the shoreline there. And that particular day, actually that particular night, the tide had pushed in thousands and tens of thousands of starfish. They were all stranded on the beach. And as he walked with his grandson would pick up one, throw it back in the water. Pick it up, throw it back in the water. Grandpa was watching his grandson. Finally said, son, stop a minute. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm putting these starfish back in the water. They're going to die out here. Picked up another one. He said, son, do you realize that there are tens of thousands of starfish? What does it really matter? Took the starfish and threw it. Said, Grandpa, it meant something to that one. Amen. So yeah, we may not win tens of thousands. Get your mind off that. If you could just win one, it'll matter to that one. And it'll matter to that family. And if we could reach just one and one family and bring the family, it'll just trickle on down. And everybody it touches, it'll touch somebody else. And you can change generations. You can change people's destinies that aren't even alive right now if you'll just reach one person. When's the last time you tried to reach one person and tell them about the gospel? Amen. You don't have to know all the 16 fundamental truths of the symbols of God. I bet you don't even know them yourself. You don't have to tell. Hey, this is, man, and I believe it. You know, I'm a doctrine man. I believe we ought to have doctrine. Without doctrine, man, doctrines are like, it's like the bones of a body. Where would the church be if it didn't have doctrine? We've got to have doctrine. That's what it's talking about here. But it doesn't mean that we have to push our doctrines down their throat. I mean, they're lost without God. They don't need our doctrines. If they just need to get one doctrine right, okay? That one doctrine is the doctrine is called Christology. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. If they can get that one doctrine right, brother, it'll change their life. Like the man that was beside Jesus on his deathbed, hung to a cross. He didn't know anything about eschatology. He didn't know anything about soteriology. He didn't know anything about theology. All he knew that in a few moments he's going to be dead. And in the midst of his railing against Jesus, the Bible said the light came on and he understood that the Christology, his Christology got right. He said, this is him. This is him. This is the Messiah. This is the man that was sent to us to save us. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, I'll do better than that. He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. He got his Christology right. That's the only thing people need to know to get started. And that is, what do they believe about Jesus? You see, the world needs Jesus Christ. The drunk that's bound needs Jesus Christ. He's got a nagging viper. It's just at him 24/7. And all he needs is the Lord. The drug addict that's bound by the chains of habit, the guilty that try to escape, but they can't. They spend sleepless days and sleepless nights under the guilt of sin. Every heartbroken widow, every lustful man, every wayward teenager and prodigal son, every person that's dead in this city, that's walking the streets of this city, all they need to hear is Jesus Christ say, come forth, and for the church to be standing by to release them and set them free. That's what the world is in need of. For a church to set them free. We can't set them free if we're just trying to entertain them. They come bouncing in here like Lazarus, you know. And they listen to our sermons. They watch our singing. They watch our programs. And it's time to go home, and they drink a little coffee while they're there. And then it's time to go home, and so they hop back out to the car. Amen. Lazarus, come forth. Here he comes. Here come Peter. No. And what did Jesus say when he came out of the tomb? Loose him. Set him free. That's what he's telling the church. The people, we can't save anybody. We can't. I can say get a dead man alive, okay? Nothing. I mean, I don't have that kind of power, but Jesus has that kind of power. He can speak the word and the man will come forth, but it depends on us to loose them, okay? Because when they get saved, guess what? They're still bound by a lot of things. And don't try to act like when you got saved, you was pristine, pure, and perfect from that day on. No, it's called sanctification. It's called trying to get a hold of the things that have got a hold of you. And with the power of God, you can conquer, and you can be victorious, and you can be free. Loose him, set him free. That's the church's job. That's what we're here to do. God would move. You know, somebody says, I wish God would move. Wish God would do something. He will. He has. He's waiting for a church to move with him. That's all he's waiting for. We got churches that elect a committee to elect a chairman of the committee to find out what we need. Really? I know one church, they had to elect a committee to find out what kind of, or who's going to buy the gasoline for the church mower. That's ridiculous, man. The world's going to hell, and we're worried about who's going to. I know one pastor, this is the truth. He got in trouble because he changed the light bulb. You think I'm kidding? I know this guy, and I know what happened. He changed the light bulb, and he went from like a 40-watt light bulb up to about a 60-watt light bulb, and the board jumped him out and said, you didn't get permission for that extra 20 watts. I say what the needs to be is put them guys off the board and put some guys on there that are saved and full of the Holy Ghost, like the Bible said, and of a good report, and got a little bit of common sense. Somebody say amen. That's what the world is in need of. That's what the church is in need of. Not another committee. You see, we got committees upon committees. What we need is some red hot platoons of on fire for God of believers. It'll climb up out of their shell and get out where they are and say what the world is in need of is this gospel. Amen. I'm going to have to quit. Oh, this is it. Come back. I'm just going to quit. Not near finished. What are we going to do? What are you going to do today? After hearing this great report of the Gideons, after hearing this sermon, this preacher's heart, I told you last week, man, I'm ready. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of church as usual. I'm tired of just, you know, tiptoe through the tithers, through the tithers. I'm not tiptoeing through any tithers. Somebody don't even get that. You and kids don't get it, but anyhow. We need to knock it off, man, and get busy. Upset because we got the wrong color carpet or something. I mean, I've been in churches like that. I know churches that have lost people because they chose the wrong color carpet. What difference does it make? Man, if we were under persecution like they were in the first century, we wouldn't even have carpet, man. We'd be in the catacombs, okay? Listen to me, baby. It could be worse than the wrong color carpet. But it never stopped the church. See, sometimes, well, the persecution, they that live God in Christ, ye shall suffer persecution. The persecution, what stirred them up and moved them out. Maybe that's what we need. Just saying. We're too comfortable. Let me close. We need end time impacting ministry. Would y'all pray with me that we could get into the prisons? And I say we. It's not going to just be the preacher. It's going to be we. I ain't got a mouse in my pocket. It's going to be we. Could we pray that we could get a celebrate recovery in Life Point Church? Hello? That we could just not just preach them on Sunday morning, but give them some practical tools to help them. I know what we want. We just want a little religion. But you see, religion without power is dead, Paul said. He said, get away from that. Get yourself in a place where the power of this word is being preached and lived. I read about two congregations, much like our congregation. One day, they were of differing denominations. Then they were located only a few blocks from each other in this real small community. They thought it'd be better that if they could merge, they could have one strong church instead of two struggling churches. Which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Amen. I like the way they think. So they got together. Good idea. But both were too petty to pull it off. Really. The problem? I'll tell you what the problem was. They couldn't agree on how to recite the Lord's Prayer. One group wanted, forgive us our trespasses, while the other demanded, forgive our debts. So they couldn't get together. They went back to their little churches again. The newspaper in that little small community reported on it and said one church went back to its trespasses and the other church went back to its debts. Amen. That's a true story. I know it's funny, but it's really petty. But that's where the church is today. We're majoring on minors. We're calling it end time ministry. We're wondering why so few people are getting saved in the churches today. It's because we're not trying to take the church beyond the church. We're trying to do it all in the walls of the church. And then when they do come to the church, you know, there's very few in the world that can stand the pressure that's in a lot of churches. Thank God it's not in Life Point. They come in and there's pressure. You ought to feel better when you leave the church than when you came. It comes when people say, not my will, but thy will be done. It comes when a group of people say, Lord, use me. I want to be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. It comes when people sell out and realize that God has us here for such a time as this. The time is running out. See, churches are so full of pressure. In a lot of churches, God is limited by the church itself. People get saved, but it's like putting live chicks under a dead hen. It won't work. It'll kill them every time. And really, they'll be worse off than when they came. And I've talked to a lot of people like that. I'm never coming back to church because, you know, I got hurt in church. Well, I hate to say, sometimes you can. Because everybody goes to church, it's not saints. Everybody goes to church, it's not where they should be. But don't judge the church by the people. Judge it by the master. judge by the Lord. I promise you, He'll never offend you. He'll never let you down. He'll never hurt you. You see, that's why we got to burn with revival fire. Let's get to love, you know, loving Jesus back in our congregations. When I'm talking about loving Jesus, I mean, you know, you just let God have His way with you. I love you, Lord. Oh, you don't want me to do this anymore, Lord? By your grace and power, I'm not going to do that anymore. And if you need a little more help, that's what the church is here for. If any sick among them, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint with all prayer and faith, shall save the sick. I know that's talking about physical healing, but also it's talking about spiritual healing too. Some of you need some spiritual healing, but you're too proud or you're too whatever to say, I need some help. You adjust your mask every Sunday and you look good. Everybody thinks everything's fine. And your marriage is falling apart. And your life is disintegrating. And you just can't seem to put things together. And, oh, I'm doing good though, Pastor. Let me tell you something. You got a body of believers here that believe in a living God, that believe in what God is doing, and they believe in you. And I can speak as the pastor. You can come tell me any secret in your heart, and I promise you it'll never be revealed. I will help you as your pastor. That's a promise. Come to me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Because I love God. Our churches need to be more than social centers. They need to be revival centers. They need to be hospitals where sick people come to God. They need to be places where when we come to church, we're not worried about how many songs we're going to sing or what songs we're going to sing or how long the preacher's going to preach or how many stories he can tell that will make me laugh. How long do I have to stand? Well, there's coming a time, ain't nobody going to have to make you stand. There'll come a time, having done all to stand, you will stand. I promise you that. There's coming a time that nobody will have to beg you to pray, beg to study, beg to live for God. There'll come a time in your life that you won't have to, you know, beg you to just get happy in the Lord. You'll be happy in the Lord. And you won't have to have anybody teach you how to shout because a shouter will be down inside of you, living inside of you when there's less of you and more of Him. Brother, let's get on that Jericho road, okay? Let's get out of here and let's get on that Jericho road because there's some folk out there that need the gospel and we need to preach the gospel and we need to make impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is looking for you and me to be the church. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray that you'll just